Vice President Brown?
Here.
Mr. Chapman?
Here.
Mr. Clark?
Here.
Mr. Salters?
Here.
Mr. Sebring?
Here.
Okay. Everybody's had a chance to read the April 22nd minutes. We need a motion and a second approval.
Motion, I'll make the motion.
Second.
A motion by Councilman Clark, second by Councilman Sebring.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, moving on to petitions, memorials, and remonstrances. Just a couple things. We need to mention that this weekend is Relay for Life. The next weekend is a rendezvous with the 25th and 26th. And then at this time, I also want to commend our utilities, our street department, fire department, police department, all departments for the help with the recent flood, even though I don't think we're actually down to flood stage yet, but everybody did an outstanding job and everything worked well. So I want to commend all those departments for their hard work. Does anybody else have anything? Okay, move on to committee reports. Public Safety, Councilman Chapman.
No report.
Environmental Management, Councilman Clark.
We'll have a meeting this time next week and Monday. It'll be a 7 a.m. meeting for solid waste. So that's going to be the next one for us.
Budget Finance, Councilman Brown.
No report.
Planning and Zoning Community Development, Councilman Brink.
No report.
Here, does she give you anything?
No.
Legislative Review, Councilman Sebring.
No report, Mayor.
City Services, Councilman Salters.
No report.
Report of City Officers. At this time, I would like to introduce to you our new city engineer, John Sprague. I handed out a sheet, a little bio on him.
Hello.
Evening.
I'm John Sprague, the new city engineer, as the mayor stated. I graduated, I think the mayor passed out a brief bio for me, and I was just hit a couple items on that review. Feel free to stop me if you have any questions. I graduated Purdue in 2005, which a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering with a transportation emphasis. I also graduated from the Cooperative Education Program, which allowed me 2 years of experience before graduating. The last 5.5 years, I've been with United Consulting in Indianapolis. Some of the more poignant projects that I've worked on in my career are Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. I was on the team that helped design the stormwater drainage, earthwork design, subsurface drainage, and some complex urban grading around the site. I was on the design team that designed the midfield terminal parking lots that consisted of about 13,000 parking spaces. We moved about 500,000 cubic yards of dirt and balanced on that job. I've worked on various segments of I-69 in Southwest Indiana. I've designed 4 roundabouts in the Indianapolis area, Carmel and Avon. I've worked on large-scale NDOT projects from State Road 261, Newburgh, all the way up to US 31 in South Bend, and all the design aspects that are associated with large-scale NDOT projects. A few of the items of in my industry that I have experience with are alignment and profile design, storm sewer design, earthwork, signal design, ADA compliance, lighting, permitting, pavement design, trail design, pavement failure mitigation, trail design, utility coordination, and construction inspection. Primary goal for my office is public safety. The secondary goal for my office is looking out for the best interests of the city contractually, financially, and strategically. One of the examples that I've been able to do in the short time that I've been here is the mayor had a contract on his desk for a consulting firm to evaluate the city streets throughout Vincennes. I think we have 85 or 90 miles. Part of that would be analyzing the existing pavement, finding out what's wrong with them and what measures it would take to remedy those failures. And I believe they asked for a contract price of about $89,000. I informed the mayor that that is something that is completely within the realms of what I'm capable of doing out of my office, therefore negating the need for that contract. So things of that nature, reviewing contracts that we have with other consulting firms, those are small parts of what I'll be doing. That's all. You have any questions?
Yeah, I was going to ask, when will this start?
He's already been working for 2 weeks.
A week and 3 days.
A week and 3 days.
But who's counting?
Yeah. And I can tell you he's already proved himself. He's sat in a lot of the meetings that we've had on, like, the Second Street project and the Riverwalk project, and is keeping his eye out for the city and making sure that our best interest is.
And you're saying that the worst will be first?
Worst will be first.
The streets.
Right.
Are they going to have curbs too? There's some, I know, within range of 4 or 5 blocks from where I live, there are a lot of people have been talking about curbing. Right. Will there be curbs, or is this just the sidewalks and the roadways?
Part of this contract that I replaced will be evaluating the needs throughout the entire city. Whether or not they have curbs will be part of that evaluation process.
Mine's a simple question. How do you spell your last name?
Sprague, S-P-R-A-G-U-E.
U-E.
Ah, I was okay. So close.
Thank you.
Come on.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, we have no old business, so we'll move on to new business. First up is Ordinance 3-2013, Additional Appropriations Edit, $3,000, and SME Brownfield Grant, $1,745.08.
You have to ask this is a, yeah, this is actually old business, all these items. Y'all passed them, by my memory, first reading, last meeting.
Yeah, you might want to change your agenda by interlineation, substituting old for.
I need to make a motion.
I would make a motion that the minutes be revised to say that the new business is actually old business, I guess.
Second.
Okay. Yeah, and we do need to. So the first item under old business is Ordinance 3-2013.
I move we have a second reading of Ordinance 3-2013.
Second.
Go ahead, Tim.
Got a motion by Councilman Chapman, second by Councilman Brown for second reading.
Ordinance 3-2013, Additional Appropriation Ordinance containing Section 1, Section 2, $3,000 from Edit for Chamber Building Rental, Edit to for SME Bill for Brownfield Grant. Grant $1,745.08.
Any discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Second reading passes with a 6-0 vote.
I'd move we have third reading of Ordinance 3-2013.
Second.
A motion by Councilman Chapman, second by Councilman Brown for third and final reading.
Ordinance 3-2013, Additional Appropriation Ordinance containing Section 1 and Section 2, Edit Funds, Chamber Building Rental and SME for Brownfield Grant, 420 through 424 Main Street.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, third reading passes 60. Next is Ordinance 4-2013, Amending Schedule 2, Chapter 75, Parking Schedule. No parking on southeast side of South Fifth Street from Main Street to Alley.
We have second reading of Ordinance 4-2013.
Second.
Got a motion by Councilman Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring for second reading.
Ordinance 4-2013, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, amending Chapter 75 parking schedules containing one section, making permanent the parking on the south side of this street, main street to the alley, and put in our code of ordinance.
If I may, I actually did, I had a chance to stop by and talk to some of the businesses downtown, and there's already limited, very limited parking in that area. And I spoke to one business individual whose business is right there, and I just don't see a need for this at this point in time. We're so short on parking downtown.
And I have to say, this come as a recommendation from a couple merchants downtown, but, and we also went and looked at it and decided that it shouldn't be the whole half the block. It should be this two spaces that should be,
well,
just for vehicles turned off of Main on the, or south on Fifth.
Then I would suggest that we vote no and we go back to this and look at it again. If you're making a different recommendation on this,
that's what I'm going to recommend.
Then I would call for the question at this time. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So we're voting, you're recommending a no vote because, as I understood the earlier presentation, this street is narrower at one end than the other, and there's a problem with
absolutely
traffic at that intersection getting around the parked cars. So
right.
That's what we were trying to alleviate.
Right, and we looked at it and saw that if we had just alleviated the first one or two spots, that would probably correct the problem, that it would still leave two or three additional spots rather than take out the whole half a block.
You want it just to move to, rather than strike it, to remove it from the agenda and have you redraft it and bring it back?
Or you could just move to amend.
Or you could move to amend.
Had a 90-day trial period and for Board of Works, and I don't think there was any negative feedback at all during that period. This could be amended or tabled.
Let's table it and have you come back with an amendment, or someone come back with an amendment.
If we do that, though, that may be helpful to do another 90-day trial on the new and improved recommendation from Main Street to the alley, two spaces.
I think it's originally about,
if you're talking
90
days, then we should probably remove it from the agenda rather than just have it hang on the agenda then.
Yeah, the 90-day approval was for that entire
I'm actually in favor of Ordinance 4-2013 as is. It alleviates a lot of congestion on an intersection that at times can be can have some heavy use. I mean, I myself use that intersection very frequently, and I think just eliminating those two spots still creates a bottleneck there that still creates a dangerous situation. Opens you up for side swipes and you know, head-on opportunities there. I'm in favor of it as it's currently on the on our agenda.
Any other discussion?
Oh. You said it had no objections during the 90-day trial period as it is now?
There was none.
The only problem with the 90-day trial period is this. Once you start it, it's going to be hard to stop. Why don't you table it as of right now? Table it as of right now. Look at it once again, then come back and either put a no on it or put a yes on it. Because once you start that on a trial period, bingo, bingo, they're not going to stop.
Be a great opportunity for our new city engineer to make a recommendation. Why don't we table and have him come back with a recommendation? How's that? I would move we table this at this meeting. He can come back with a recommendation.
There's a pending motion and second, so draw your first motion and second.
Well, then the motion to table would take precedence, wouldn't it, over the
your motion was to read and approve. Kind of halfway through that motion.
We haven't approved it yet, but I've moved it to withdraw the motion and head to table ordinance. I get it.
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay, now I now have a motion by Councilman Chapman and a second by Councilman Clark to table ordinance for 2013 until this new city engineer takes a look at it.
Yes. As well as a yellow.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Call for the question. On the motion to table.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
No.
And that passes with a 5-2-1 vote. Moving on to ordinance 5-2013, additional appropriation to pay bill and invoice.
Move we have second reading of ordinance 5-2013.
Depends upon what the definition is. I'll second that motion.
And a motion by Councilman Chapman, second by Councilman Brink to second reading on ordinance 5-2013.
Ordinance 5-2013, additional appropriation ordinance, beginning section 1 and 2, appropriating additional money to go in invoice $110,000.
Any discussion?
I'm probably going to vote no on this, just as a symbolic protest, because it's been such a fiasco.
Which one is that, 2013?
Yeah.
I think I voted on that against once before.
You voted for it.
I'm sorry. I'm not really sorry.
Actually, it passed 7-0 on the first reading.
Well, it's, I figured it was going to be 5-1, and since Councilman Sebring's already spoiled the perfect night, I figured I'd go 5-1, but you know, I know realistically this has to pass, but.
Right. Any other discussion?
You wouldn't want to put my words into your mouth, is what you're saying.
No, I've never wanted to do that, Pat.
Somebody call for the question.
Call for the question.
Think about that.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
No.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
No.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Second reading passes with a 4-2 vote.
In other words, I won't have to get nasty again, is that it?
That's it.
No, you got one more vote.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
That's only second reading.
Somebody want to make a motion for third and final reading?
I'll make a motion for third and final reading, ordinance 5-2013.
Second.
Motion by Councilman Brink, second by Councilman Sebring for third and final reading of ordinance 5-2013.
Ordinance 5-2013, containing section 1 and section 2, payment of series of invoices for the over project, $110,000.
There are no further comments. I will call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yep.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Your symbolic time is over.
Yeah. It was too close the first time. 4-2.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Man, if that were.
I feel like I'm going to be a loner this time, but I'm
Mr. Salters?
No.
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And that passes with a 5-2-1 vote.
Well, let's put it this way. I think three of the yeses here weren't here the last time that we did this during the time the BLN was in the audience here. And part of that, I think, is this, that BLN called a few meetings that the council had no saying in it. That's not fair.
Pat? third and final reading is passed.
That's all right, I'm still saying no.
We can move forward from this day forward.
Move forward. We're done with it.
We'll move on to.
It's over.
Claims.
Make a motion to pay claims in the amount of $717,520.30.
Second.
Got a motion by Councilman Sebring, second by Councilman Brink, to pay the claims in the amount of $717,520.30.
Call for it. Oh, sorry, go ahead. Any discussion? If not, call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yep.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yep.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, that passes with a 6-0 vote. Moving to miscellaneous, I think the first thing is Linda Frederick, but she will not be here this evening. We'll move that to next meeting. Next is Lisa Jones, 325 South 13th Street, house and property next door.
Good evening, gentlemen. First off, I have some pictures that I printed. It's okay to bring them to you.
Thank you.
What I wanted to speak to the council regarding is the vacant house sitting on South 13th Street. It is next door to my house. As you can see from the pictures starting out, the front of the house, the very first top picture is the front of the house. You see the base, the foundation, there are holes in that foundation. Okay, there's the picture window, which you see in the next one down, is what people can see from the street. The boxes, the emptiness, everything. We've had problems before with people trying to break into this house. Cats, dogs, animals, bats now, birds, everything is nesting in this house. Okay, we've got a problem with this house. Not only is it an eyesore to the city, it's an eyesore to everything. The next picture is the back of the house. If you can see on the right hand bottom corner is another hole in the foundation. These pictures were taken from my drive, the sidewalk, and the alley. The next picture is their back door. I'm not sure if that's a hole or what that is. The very next picture are the easeways on the house, both of them. They are rotting, they're holes. Yeah, everything just, if it's not flying in there, it's crawling in there. And the next one is, the top picture is another part of the easeway where the guttering has gone and everything. The picture after that is how the roof is coming off. The easeway is coming apart. There's a gutter that runs where the two roofs connect that's loaded with the tops of the house, the tar. The next one is two close-up pictures of the two guttering, or whatever you want to call it, that come off the roof. That's actually shingles in those things. The next two pictures are the other side of the house where you can see the shingles are either missing, gone, or gonna be gone. And the one after that is a more close-up view of that same part of the roof. The next two pictures, the first one is where the flapping is coming off the bottom of the house. It shows how it's rotting and everything. The one underneath it is the very back one is a hole in the foundation. What they've got propped up there is what they're propping up to cover that hole. Obviously, it's not doing its job. The next two pictures, they're probably not very good, but they're what I zoomed in on that hole, where you can see exactly, it goes right underneath that foundation. That's by the front of the house. The next two pictures, the next three pictures are in black and white. Come up. They're the opposite side of the house. There are, the very first one, one of them shows how the awning and everything is coming apart. The next part of it is a hole. The next picture underneath it is an even bigger hole just past it in the foundation. The one that's at the very bottom is the hole you saw in the foundation in the back of the house. The next three pictures are just partial, some shingles that are ending up in my yard. My driveway, my yard, we've got nails, we've had to replace tires because of this. Yeah, it's just a problem all the way around. I would like to see someone be able to do something about this house. I spoke with Phil last year, and he talked to her, Ms. Grumio, apparently. She's the one who owns the property. She told him the things would be done. Nothing was done. I waited a year to see if she would do anything. Nothing. She does have somebody come out and cut the grass now, but the grass is not the only problem. The house, the foundation, everything about that place is a problem. What I am afraid of, and people around us are afraid of, is that somebody can get in that house, start a meth lab, and if it does, it's going to catch the entire neighborhood on fire. The houses are too close. But I would thank you for listening to what I have to say and looking at.
Phil, you want to come up? You've been working with her on this, or have you been in contact with her lately? Or
I talked to you, what, 2 weeks ago?
I
was over here and I called Nanette Grumio, owns the house. And I've talked to her in the last fall when you called me. The house needs a lot of work done to it. The roof is coming off. When the wind blows, it's blowing the shingles. There was nails in their driveway, and the shingles were laying in the driveway. And when I called her here a week and a half ago, told her, I asked her to do it, but I'm going to send her a certified letter. And the house needs a lot of repair. I haven't been in the house. From what looks at outside, like I say, the foundation's got holes in it, and she's going to have to step up, fix it up, or get it torn to it.
Right.
I haven't been inside to look at the floor joists. The roof looks like five different shingle layers of shingles on it. So, but she's going to have to. I'm going to send her a certified letter tomorrow, and I'm going to call her, and well, she'll call my office. Something's going to have to be done.
What's the timeline on something like that? When you send a certified letter, what is the procedural timeline? What is that?
Well, we can, you know, give her a notice that I've talked to her two times, and we're going to send her a certified letter to put it on our, be on the record, and then give her so much time to see what she's going to do with it.
What is that time? You say we'll give her so much time. What is that time? When do we go back and say, okay, time's up? It's been a year now.
Well, there's houses out there that's been over 3 years.
Sure, I understand and that, but I'm saying,
I could say,
what is that time?
I wish I could tell them, I'll say, okay, you got 30 days to get it tore down, or the city's going to have it tore down. But then come again, when the city doesn't have a lot of money
right
to tear all these houses down. I wish we did, because there are eyesores out there, and there is kids getting in them, partying inside the houses.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's... I wish there was an answer.
The problem, the problems is, we've lived there for 5 years. No one has ever been to that house to tend to it, period. No one. I sit out on my porch almost every evening in the spring and the summer. Never once have I ever seen anybody go in the house. I don't even know who can come in the house, personally. But, you know, all I see is like in the evening, animals going in, things flying in, you know,
Right.
I don't know. There was one point in time where when you were in our driveway, you could hear a humming noise from the house. But the guy who was cutting grass at the time said there's no electricity to the house.
No electricity.
So I don't know where the humming was coming from.
There's transformers on the corner. The humming is probably coming from the transformer. It's not coming from the house.
So our next move is you send her a certified letter, and if we don't get results, it goes to your list of...
If I can say something, like she said, we've been here 5 years now, and the first year we lived there, we had to find out who owned the house to get the $100, because it was getting wasty. Okay? And as you can see in the picture, the tree that sits out front is just dry, and that house is just nothing but fire hazard. And the houses are so close in there, if that house catches fire, it's taking them all.
Yeah. Well,
we haven't done anything for 5 years since we lived there.
And I told her they were coming, Ms. Lisa and Matt were coming to the city council. And right. I told her that. It seemed like it didn't. I'll send her a certified letter.
Okay.
I'll stay on.
Phil, and we'll just move forward with.
Phil, do we need to appropriate any more money to this cause? A22 Bunton's still standing too, isn't it? And that's been in the hopper for three years.
3 years.
And I'm going to call Mr. Selby.
Okay.
Talk to him.
But
Jeff.
Do you think we need to put more money in that so you can maybe move forward?
The problem you've run into is the asbestos checks.
The asbestos, each house, when the municipality tears down its houses, more than one, in a short period of time, like we got, I bet there's 50 houses that could be tore down. You got to have it checked with the environmental, the people for asbestos. And I had five of them checked here 2 weeks ago. And it's going to cost just the removal. One house is like $5,000 just to remove the asbestos. So I'm trying to figure out some way, or with you guys' help, figure out some way to come up.
How much do you have left in your account?
What? $42,000.
So it's not a matter of money right now?
Not now. But
if we can't figure out some way to work with IDEM and stuff to try to move. We went from $4,000 to tear a home down to we're up to about $10,000.
Right. And I like to know, you know, other cities in the same predicament. I mean, IDEM, I mean, they're on top of it. If we tear five houses down, they're not checked for asbestos, we'll probably get a fine. And I'm going by what the Indiana law says, so IDEM, because I don't want to get in trouble. So, and there's garages, houses. I bet there's 50, 60 houses that can come down right now, or more. And that ain't counting the garages. And some of these houses that I've been into, there's a couple of them on the demolition list that there's been people in there with drugs, doing drugs. Found needles. Anyway, I'm trying to.
What's the address of the place?
Is it 327?
327, I believe it is. 325.
325, yeah. So. Oh, you live at 325. Yeah. I'm sorry. 327, you say?
If you're looking at my house, it's setting on.
I get that straight. 327.
Okay. I believe that's.
Well,
I can find it.
Don't tear down the wrong house.
Yeah.
Phil, obviously,
not good.
I mean, obviously the ideal situation is for a property that's in this out of shape to be removed or sold to somebody that's going to redevelop it into
let the people
housing.
Own it,
but
tear
but
it down, force them to tear it down,
in the
or
end,
fix it up.
But until we can get to that point to remove all those kind of properties or get them sold, it seems to me that where we can identify an owner, we can say for safety reasons that the the entrances into that property must be sealed to the point to prevent people from entering. I mean, we've dealt with this in the past on fire-damaged homes where, you know, doors were standing open, and I've gotten with you and said, you got to get with the owner and get those doors nailed up so kids don't get in there and fall down and so forth. So can we do that? Can we order the property owner at a bare minimum to seal up the entrances to this house? I mean, they of course should be required to keep the grass mowed, but it sounds like maybe they're starting to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not the solution, but it's certainly a lot better than having properties like this stand open where kids and anybody can get in there and do all kinds of mischief.
Well, I've called the mortgage companies, I called the banks, I've called one of them, said just do what you want with the property. And you know, I thought about having some work release people being properly, somebody that were with the city to board up the windows and doors. But when you can't get the mortgage company to tell you one way or the other, and they keep passing on to another bank or mortgage company, and
well, I know generically that's true, but here we have an identified owner.
Right,
we can say,
right.
You got to seal it up.
Yeah.
We don't want animals going in and out of it. I mean, I know what a nuisance that would be to have a bunch of
and maybe
the
doors
going back and forth.
Yeah. And maybe the council would like
secure.
To have a front page article about this individual who would like to clean up her property.
I didn't hear what you said, TJ.
I said maybe the Sun Commercial would run a front page article about this individual cleaning up her property.
Now there's not enough, I don't think there's enough paper in the city to, for some reason, they couldn't carry it. Can't carry it off to so many pictures.
The thing is, from what I understand, this Grimio is a relative. That doesn't look very good, does it? I mean, she's supposed to be a person who sells houses, and here she owns the house and can't even take care of it. And from what I've been told, I don't know, that they're using this place as a storage place. What they've got in there, they've
got it for 5 years. Well, send a certified letter
and get moving to put it on the list of.
And please keep us up to speed on what's going on with it. Is this your second trip back?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. There was one other thing I needed to address that didn't get added. There is an area that runs directly from the back of my garage, which is has a door on it. There is no house there. There is a garage. It's a nice garage. But whoever has put down railroad ties across the whole area, from the printout that I've gotten from the surveyor's office, it shows that that is an alley, and they have blocked it. Phil is not sure if it was given up or what, or if they just went in and blocked it on their own, but it makes access to my garage very difficult. Right. if it is an alley, it needs opened so that people can get through from 12th and a half street to the alley way.
You can check that out, can't you, on area plan?
I've got it right here.
Okay, James Hartsock, I don't know if anybody remembers him or not. He used to own 325, where you live now, 13th, and he owned all the property behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that alley, you thought it was an alley, that was a driveway when he lived there, and he pulled it off of 12th and High Street and went into the garage at 325 South 13th. Well, Harley Crowe owns that property, and the pole barn next to it, and but that what you thought was an alley, that was just a driveway for Mr. Hardsock. It was not an alley, and Harley Crowe owns this garage.
So does he own this area too?
Yes, he owns that's his property from the garage, from the right side of the garage to the left to the property line he owns, and that was the driveway going into the garage off of 12th and a half street. And that's how he got into the garage. The alley is not, the garage is on the alley is right a foot from the or 2 foot from the alley. The setback, you couldn't even drive in a vehicle into the garage. So that's the reason he had that property. He owned it and used that as a driveway. So that is, it's not an alley.
So it's private property?
It's a private property.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you. Anything else, Sandra?
Well, just before we leave this point, I mean, I'm glad you brought this particular property to our attention, but it brings up the point that there are a lot of these properties out there. And, you know, it's sometimes a mystery to me. I mean, I know there are cases where banks that are located out of the state wind up with these properties and mortgage defaults, and they don't even know where the properties are. And so and Phil has real difficulty even tracking down what bank owns them. And, you know, there's that problem. And then we've got some other cases where, I guess, people go into nursing homes, and these homes are, I don't quite know the term for it, but the nursing home kind of has a lien on it to pay the bill, and they kind of sit in limbo. Am I kind of describing that right? I guess the nursing home then gets the property if they default on their nursing home bill, et cetera. But in the meantime, if they're in the nursing home 3-4 years, these properties oftentimes sit neglected as well. So you got those properties. But there's some other properties out there that are just deteriorating that, you know, we find out they're owned by local people, and they're just sitting there going downhill. And you know, it's like if you had caught them at some earlier stage, the properties were able to be fixed up and pretty nice places for people to live. But 5-10 years later, they wind up looking like this. I don't have an answer, but I sure wish there was some way we could identify those properties before they get in this shape so we could, you know, prevent that. I know a rental property just a few blocks off downtown, a nice two-story that was once a pretty nice rental, and it's just been sitting and sitting. I think that's a bank foreclosure case, but it doesn't look like anyone's trying to sell it, and, you know, somebody kicked out the windows, and then suddenly animals start to go down the basement, and, you know, there's all these stories out there, but I just wish there was some way we could, as a community, get a handle on identifying what properties, who owns them. I mean, I'm, you know, to some extent, I'm not opposed to a little public shaming, you know, if we identify a problem owner who owns multiple properties, as an example, I'm not so sure our ordinance shouldn't be changed to say that from the day you get your certified letter to say you will mow or fix up or whatever the case might be, that you shall be required to have a large sign in that front yard saying this property owned by such and such at such and such an address, and here's their phone number. I mean, I really think that the public has a right to know where we can identify these owners. And if it's an out-of-state bank, heck, put that phone number on there too. Maybe if they got 300 or 400 calls from Little Vincennes, they might look up and find out where we are and fix up the property. I mean, I don't know. Someone's got a better idea.
Didn't the legislature address some of this in this past session to give municipalities a little bit more latitude to get some of these houses down?
I think they tried to do some streamlining, yeah, but
they did.
Well, maybe we ought to start there. But I mean, I think that may be part of the solution. Heck, maybe we take part of your budget or add to your budget and run an ad in the Sun Commercial 3 times a year, a big half-page ad, and have a picture of these properties and say, here are the owners with their phone number. I mean,
show me the money.
Property ownership is public record, I believe. I think. Tell me if I'm wrong. But anyway, if anyone has any other creative ideas, Gene always has a creative idea, let us know.
You can come back up if you want.
Gene's always got a good
idea. He always has a good idea.
I have a couple comments about this, because whatever they put in the city rental ordinance, and you're talking about identifying people, Bell Casting was the mayor at the time, and they wanted to identify every house that was rental with some kind of a sign in the window or something. I vehemently opposed to it, because I went up front with some big posters with some suggested signs. So I understand when you got a property that's a problem with a landlord, but I want to remind you that there's probably not sitting in this room, but there's a lot of residential private-owned houses that are in the same condition. So if you're going to identify a property that belongs to a landlord as a problem and publish it, you need to not discriminate against the landlords.
This isn't a landlord.
Yeah, my comment wasn't directed at a landlord.
I know, and I understand that, and I understand what you're talking about. But I think when you do it, you need to do this across the board.
No.
Don't pick on one segment of the city. I only own one rental. I used to own several of them. I only own one, and sometimes the income from it, because of my high taxes compared to the properties next door, and my insurance and all my maintenance, doesn't provide enough money for me to put a roof on it and go back and re-site it 5 years later. It doesn't make that much money. So I'm just saying, don't pick on one segment of society. I remember saying then, and I almost went a little bit out of line, because first thing, if we're going to identify this as a rental property back 20 some years ago, then you need to identify the one next door. So I've got a Japanese guy living in this, and let's put a sign Japanese. I've got a black man living over here. Let's call that a black man. I've got a house over here that's got a rich retired lady in it. Let's put rich retired lady on the wall, see? So if we're going to identify them, let's identify them like they are, not only a segment of it. Thank you.
I was only referring to identifying violators, not
We don't care if they're renting it or if it hasn't been occupied.
About the white man next door.
Well, I forgot to identify myself. I'm Gene Williams.
How about myself, Phil, and the city attorney? We'll get together and discuss.
It comes down many times to, and I don't want to get involved. That's the way it is. I don't want to get involved.
Well, we will let the city attorney and Phil and
this attorney lives here.
Myself discuss this, and we'll have something to bring back.
If we could ask the attorney, though, to identify or to research that new law that passed in the legislature to streamline procedures, that would be. Oh, we can. We'll get you. I know Jody at the IAC. We'll get you the law. Okay.
Yes.
The day these kind of properties like this, and you know, I'll just call it a crime, is not a victimless crime, because the people who live in that neighborhood pay the price for this property. They lose property value, they lose the quality of life of living in that neighborhood, and ultimately what happens, we all know this, the people who maintain their property get tired of living next door to properties like this, and they move. And then sometimes their property then is, you know, winds up in this situation. So there are a lot of victims beyond the city taxpayers that sometimes don't get the money back at a tax sale. And ultimately, if this happens enough, you're talking about entire neighborhoods.
Yeah, I was going to say, kind of on the same line as the SIDC grant that we got, where when you fix up a house here or a house there, it adds to your neighborhood, and then before you know it, all the neighbors start improving their houses in that neighborhood. But it goes the exact opposite way as well. If you have a house here or a house there that starts going down, other people just start letting their stuff go. And we can't do that. Because quite frankly, if you let your house go, my property value goes down as well. And so, you know, and I don't know. I guess I don't have the answer to it, but.
Did you have another comment? Or?
Oh, I'm Lisa Johnson. Like he said, if you go over to my house on 13, and I'm not bragging, I work very hard to keep my yard. And but if you look at that house that I'm told you about and go down the street
like the house next to it and the one next to it, you can tell that they don't care because, you know, it's just like a domino effect.
Right.
You know, it's going all the way to the end of the block. But, I mean, I'm not telling anybody to do anything with their home, but like he said, put it in the newspaper. You don't have to say who it is. Just put the picture of the house.
Let's put who it is. Let's put who owns it.
I have no problem putting who owns it.
You don't have to say who owns it. You don't even have to say where the house is.
And, you know, the other side of that coin is there are people who buy properties like this, or maybe, you know, similar quality anyway, and do fix it up. And, you know, they re-roof it and they put new siding on. So, but we like to give those people a reasonable period of time to turn it around rather than just buy it and just let it sit and deteriorate over time. So, you know, we have to be careful when there is a property like this. If there's someone that's bought it to fix it up, we don't want to embarrass them.
Exactly.
But on the other hand, we want to give them a reasonable period of time. I know there's a property out by the football field that apparently got a permit to remodel and put up the side, insulation siding, and then left it for 10 to 15 years. I don't know what happened to that case, but, you know, there had to be a reasonable period of time to remodel, not 2 decades.
Well, like the gentleman who was taking care of the yard, several times he told me and my fiance that that someone broke in before and ripped out all the wiring in the house. Then we were told that somebody broke in before and tore out the whole kitchen. And then the people who apparently either lived there or rented the house, because they redid the kitchen and what we were told were moved, they took everything with them. So I don't know if there's even anything in that kitchen.
Right.
I don't know what's in the house, period. I don't know anything about the windows. I'm just telling you what the outside looks like.
Well, Phil's going to send him a certified letter and start getting the process moving, hopefully a little quicker.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, does anybody else have anything or miscellaneous?
Mr. Mayor, I had something out of my office that pertains to this very thing. And what it is the general fund operates on property taxes. And if we continue to let things go like they're going, I mean, we love the university, we love the hospital, but we also know that with their continued growth, that properties are taking off the tax rolls. And now, what she said was an exact point, that if you let a neighbor, their property go down in value, or, and don't get me started, if you let them park over the sidewalks at night and all that, and the properties start going down, and this one particular house goes down, the neighborhood goes down, and you, the city fathers, are going to have less and less money to operate on from property taxes. And the only way to offset that is to come up with an income tax based on salaries. And that's probably not the way to go. And the other thing, we want to tear down a lot of houses because we need to, but then what happens? You have a rectangular lot, and you have a house that is actually put up there, and I'm not anti-manufactured housing, but you have a house put up there, and you go by and the street view is a bedroom window of the house, and there's no front door facing the street like the other houses. So what happens there? Your property values of all those houses around there goes down. And if we don't start helping ourselves to keep property values of homes up, then we're going to be in a position like Indianapolis was before Dick Lugar decided to change it. There's no money there, and it's continuous. In my history of service to city government, I've seen it, and it just keeps getting to a point where we're not going to have funds to operate on, and the taxes, senior citizens who live here are going to have to pay more on their property taxes because the houses around them, we have, as city fathers, just let them go till we have nothing on it. And I've noticed that, and the only reason I'm mentioning that is, hey, I'm here for fiscal responsibility, and that's where I start at. Thank you.
Just a real quick note, and I agree with the prefabs, though, in the area plan zoning part of it, a prefab cannot go in there unless that front door does face. Now, with that said, no, with that said, I can pick two of them that went in the last administration that they allowed. And it, there's one of them that's still going through the process of putting it up. And it's been kind of a time frame on that. We've talked about those very houses more than once at the area plan meetings.
Go to 13th and College and go down.
I know exactly the one you're, and that's the one that we're talking about.
That one was just put up.
Yeah, but it was given permission before.
Real quick, Phil, how many of those have you allowed since you've been city inspector?
Zero.
Exactly, okay. Is there any other discussion?
But your point is right.
Not. One last thing under miscellaneous, I did give you the council as a whole asked for the Board of Works to request for quotes for private companies to do trash removal in the city. I handed you a list of items that would be
in the RFP.
In the RFP for if a company was going to bid on this. So, and I've worked with Councilman Salters on this list. Since your last meeting, I hadn't heard from anybody, but this is the list that was come up with. What will be put out? Okay. Anything else under miscellaneous?
Is this something we can put John?
I think maybe.
Yeah.
If not, we need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Hold on to that pencil. You got a valuable.